There is no other way to put it. This is a repeat podcast from April of 2006. For those of you who have recently started to listen to the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, please know that there are dozens and dozens of podcasts already produced waiting for you to download them at PoetryFoundation.org. Click on audio.
This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for Friday, April 21st. I'm Curtis Fox. Today, an exploration of Robert Browning's great monologue, Fra Lippo Lippi. In his lifetime, Robert Browning was never as popular a poet as his wife, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. You remember her. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. But over the years, his stock has risen, and he is now probably the most read of his generation of Victorian poets, better loved than even Tennyson, and certainly more fun than Matthew Arnold. From the late 1840s to the early 1860s, Browning lived in Italy, and many of his best poems are historical monologues set in Renaissance Italy. One of the longest, funniest, and most intellectually engaging of them is called Fra Lippo Lippi. It's in the voice of Fra Lippo Lippi, the 15th century Florentine painter, who was also a monk with a penchant for the ladies. Our guide to the poem is the poet W.S. Di Piero. He was recorded in front of a Fra Lippo Lippi painting at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. The reader of the poem itself is Paul Giamatti.
The poem starts with Fra Lippo being caught late at night in the red light district of Florence, and he's dressed like a monk, because that's what he was.
I am poor brother Lippo, by your leave. You need not clap your torches to my face. Zooks, what's to blame? You think you see a monk? What, 'tis past midnight, and you go your rounds, and here you catch me at an alley's end where sportive ladies leave their doors ajar?
And he's stopped by the constables, the local constabulary, and they say, what are you doing here this time of night in this neighborhood? And he says, I can explain everything.
Who am I? Why, one, sir, who is lodging with a friend three streets off. He's a certain... Oh, how do you call? Cosimo of the Medici in the house that caps the corner?
He tries to talk his way out of a very dicey situation. And one of the ways he does it is by essentially claiming that he's friends with the governor, right? Because he says, I'm working for the great man that lives up there. How do you call him? Cosimo, you know who I'm talking about? This is his way of weaseling out of a situation.
I'd like his face. His, elbowing on his comrade in the door with the pike and the lantern, for the slave that holds John Baptist's head to dangle by the hair with one hand.
So he's essentially already imagining which of these people are laying hands on him he's going to use as models.
Yes, I'm the painter, since you style me so. What, Brother Lippo's doings up and down, you know them, and they take you? Like enough. I saw the proper twinkle in your eye. Tell you, I liked your looks at very first.
What Browning has to do, as an artist, is find a way of positioning Fra Lippo Lippi dramatically in such a way that he can tell his life story, most of which Browning cribbed from Giorgio Vasari's The Lives of the Artists, written in 1505, I think. Vasari actually describes how Cosimo would lock up Fra Lippo in his garret to produce these paintings of saints. And one night he got so tired of producing all these paintings of saints that he tore up his bedsheets and made a ladder out of his, a rope out of his bedsheets, threw it out of his window, went down the rope, and basically spent the night catting around the streets of Florence because he was known to do this.
Scarce had they turned the corner when a titter, like the skipping of rabbits by moonlight, three slim shapes, and a face that looked up. Zooks, sir! Flesh and blood. That's all I'm made of. Into shreds it went. Curtain and counterpane and coverlet, all the bed furniture. A dozen knots, and there was a ladder. Down I let myself, hands and feet, scrambling somehow, and so dropped and after them.
And during the course of that poem, Fra Lippo describes his own upbringing. He was poor, he was orphaned, he grew up on the streets, and he learned how to read faces because he had to figure out which face was going to give him a scrap of food and which face was going to kick him.
I was a baby when my mother died, and father died and left me in the street. I starved there, God knows how, a year or two on fig skins, melon parings, rinds, and shucks, refuse and rubbish. One fine frosty day, my stomach being empty as your hat, the wind doubled me up and down I went. Old Aunt Lapacha trussed me with one hand, its fellow was a stinger, as I knew, and so along the wall, over the bridge, by the straight cut, to the convent. 6 words there, while I stood munching my first bread that month. "So, boy, you're minded," quoth good fat father, wiping his own mouth. 'Twas refection time, "to quit this very miserable world. Will you renounce—" The mouthful of bread, thought I? By no means. Brief, they made a monk of me.
This is, to my ear, marvelously efficient, dramatic narrative writing. And it also has some of the texturing of reality and of unpleasant things. These are not aspects of reality that are presented in gold leaf.
First, every sort of monk, the black and white I drew them, fat and lean. Then, folk at church, from good old gossips waiting to confess their cribs of barrel droppings, candle ends, to the breathless fellow at the altar foot, fresh from his murder, safe, and sitting there with the little children round him in a row of admiration. The monks closed in a circle and praised loud. "That's the very man. Look at the boy who stoops to pat the dog. That woman's like the prior's niece who comes to care about his asthma. It's the life." But there my triumph straw fire flared and funked. Their betters took their turn to see and say. The prior and the learned pulled a face and stopped all that in no time.
During the course of Browning's explanation to these cops, because the whole thing is an explanation to the cops, and he says, "I got into it with my prior, because I did this picture, and he looked at it, and first of all, he recognized his niece in the picture, which was a problem. And second of all, he says, why can't you represent piety and represent the God in us, etc., the way this other marvelous painter, Beato Angelicus, Fra Angelico, that's what they called him, and says, why can't you do that, he says, instead of showing us in our perishable clay. This is what, during his argument with Fra Lippo Lippi, the prior says in order to defend the kind of pious art that he himself prefers. He says, in regard to Fra Lippo Lippi's art, "It's art's decline."
"It's art's decline, my son. You're not of the true painters, great and old. Brother Angelico's the man you'll find. Brother Lorenzo stands his single peer. Fag on it flesh, you'll never make the third."
That line, "fag on it flesh, you'll never make the third," means if you keep toiling away at trying to represent flesh, you're never going to make the cut. And Browning's response to that, Browning Lippo's response to that is, if I can represent what we actually look like, and if we are God's creation, then I am representing the best that God can do.
Why can't a painter lift each foot in turn, left foot and right foot, go a double step, make his flesh liker and his soul more like, both in their order? Take the prettiest face, the prior's niece. Patron saint, is it so pretty you can't discover if it means hope, fear, sorrow, or joy? Won't beauty go with these? Suppose I make her eyes all right and blue. Can't I take breath and try to add life's flash, and then add soul and heighten them threefold? Or say there's beauty with no soul at all. I never saw it, put the case the same. If you get simple beauty and naught else, you get about the best thing God invents. That's somewhat. And you'll find the soul you have missed within yourself when you return him thanks.
The entire poem is actually Browning's defense of his own art. Browning's values, which are being represented by Fra Lippo Lippi, are Browning's values as a poet. And I think that they're summed up in lines which Fra Lippo speaks in the poem, when he says, "This world's no blot
This
for
world's
us.
No blot for us, nor blank. It means intensely, and means good. To find its meaning is my meat and drink."
And all of those terms, meat, drink, meaning, etc., speaks for a certain kind of artistic practice, whether verbal or visual, which is concerned with physical immediacy, with the actual rather than the transcendent. Or if it's concerned with the transcendent, it's concerned with the transcendent only insofar as it's experienced in what's imminent, what's here, and actual. Right? That's Browning's art.
You can read an essay by W.S. DiPiero about Browning's art and hear him comment on some of the Italian Renaissance painters that Browning loved at poetryfoundation.org, where you can also download Paul Giamatti's reading of Fra Lippo Lippi in its entirety. That's it for this week. We'll have more podcasts next week. If you're listening to these podcasts online, remember, you can subscribe and receive them automatically on your computer through iTunes or your favorite podcast directory. Let us know if you're having any trouble receiving the podcast, or let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. We got production help this week from Eric Archer and Emily Zeugner. The music used in this podcast comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.